and welcome to another fantastic episode of
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
My name's Craig.
And my name's Reza.
And you're listening to episode 116 of our language podcast, in which we hope to improve your English and take it to the next level. We have over 40 years of teaching experience between us, and we're very happy that you've joined us to listen to this episode on prepositions, the third in our series of prepositions that are dependent on other words or dependent prepositions. So two episodes ago, we spoke about verbs and prepositions. Last week, adjectives and prepositions. This week, Reza, what's the subject?
It's nouns and prepositions.
Now, how exciting is that?
Wow.
Before we speak about the wonderful subject of nouns and prepositions in English, we've got some feedback from our friend Mamin. So here's a voice message from Mamin.
Hi, guys. This is Mamin. Here I am walking with my dog next to the river. And suddenly, I think that it's been a while since I didn't speak with you. So I wish you a good summer. And I hope you are enjoying your holidays, if you have it. And I was thinking that maybe if you come here or near here, you can call me and I show you all this beautiful landscape. So that's all. Only a big kiss and a big hug. Bye.
Thank you, Mamin. It's always a pleasure to hear from you, especially when you're listening to podcasts and walking your dog. Any comments on Mamin's message, Reza?
Very good message, Mamin. Hi, how are you? A little mistake, Mamin. I think you said it's been a while since I didn't speak to you. I think that's what you said.
Yes,
that's
wrong. Did. Yeah.
What you should have said was it's been a while since I've spoken to you. So it's positive, not negative. And when you say it's been a while or it is a while, then it's followed by present perfect. So it's been a while since I've spoken to you.
Is that a problem with translation? Because
yes.
In Spanish you'd say ha sido.
Hace mucho tiempo que no hablo con vosotros.
So it's negative in Spanish. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So in English, you'd say, it's been a while since I've spoken with you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your invitation to show us around your beautiful landscape, your scenery in Biescas. I'd love to go. The problem is when. I'm sure that we'll come up and see you, because I love that part of Spain. It's quite close to the Pyrenees, very green, very picturesque, with beautiful mountains and small villages. I love it. It's just time. Yeah. Do you think you can get there this summer, Reza? What are you doing over the summer?
Maybe at the end of the summer, Mamin. What about at the end of September?
Let's try. We won't promise, but we'd love to come and see you maybe in September sometime and spend a couple of days with you in your area. So we'll do our best, and thank you very much for the invitation. So this summer you're off to teach, aren't you, Reza?
Yes, I'm actually going to teach at the University of Ulster, so I'm going to be away for a while. That's why Craig and I are desperately, frenetically recording lots of podcasts now before I go. But then, don't worry, we'll be releasing them weekly over the summer.
We haven't slept for a week. We've been recording podcasts by candlelight so that you can have your podcast every week. Reza, so we're speaking about prepositions again and dependent prepositions, which, as we said last week, dependent prepositions are prepositions that always follow the same expression. For example, we say interested in something. I'm interested in skiing, for example. We don't say interested on or interested about. We say interested in. And as we saw in the previous two episodes, dependent prepositions can depend on a verb or an adjective as well as a noun. So let's look at some prepositions that go together with nouns. Yes. And also go after certain nouns.
Yes, that's another thing. Prepositions come after certain verbs or after certain adjectives. With nouns, there are some patterns where the preposition's before and other patterns where there's a particular preposition after, or even a combination of the two. But let's start with just one for the minute, one preposition. Let's start with the preposition in. Craig, can you think of any noun which often goes with the preposition in?
Well, I can think of one that's really quite formal, because we can say when we agree with someone, we can say, I agree with you. But we could also use agree as a noun. So the noun of agree is agreement. And the preposition that often goes with agreement is in. So you can say, I'm in agreement with you. And you can modify that to say, I'm completely in agreement with you. I'm totally in agreement with you. Or I'm 100% in agreement with you. That's a nice expression to use in an interview, a job interview, for example. It is a little formal. For example, Reza, are we in agreement, do you think, with the way English should be taught in the classroom?
I think we are. I believe it should be taught in the most communicative way possible.
Yeah, communication, real communication, I think, is the best way of teaching. So Reza and I are in agreement with the way English should be taught.
Craig, I'm in doubt about which course to write next. What does that mean? I'm in doubt.
Tengo duda. To be in doubt. Be careful of the spelling of doubt. It's D-O-U-B-T. There's a silent B in doubt. So I'm in doubt about which course to write next.
Not to be confused with in debt. D-E-B-T. If you're in debt, that means you've borrowed money and you have to pay it back.
Mm-hmm. So you could be in doubt about whether to be in debt.
You could, yes.
In theory.
Yeah. What about in a hurry?
In a hurry is in a rush. Mm-hmm. De prisa. Are you in a hurry to finish this podcast, for example?
Mm-hmm.
Tienes prisa?
No.
Are you in a hurry?
I'm not in a hurry at all. I'm enjoying it. I'm in no hurry at all.
I'm in no hurry either. So you're in a hurry. Preposition in.
What about an increase or decrease or a rise or fall in? For example, there's been a fall in the value of the euro and the pound.
There has been since Brexit. Yeah, since the Brexit spectacle. Let's call it a spectacle. Yeah. Since the Brexit news, the euro has fallen in value. Yeah. So you use the preposition in to speak about some trends, which we're going to speak about next week. We've been asked to speak about the trends in rising, falling, going up, going down, etc. Just remember, with increase and decrease, the preposition is in.
Yes, we had some feedback asking us to speak about trends. Is there anything you're having difficulty in or with? If there is, let us know. And we might be able to do something about it on the podcast. So difficulty in or also difficulty with is another combination of a noun with the preposition in.
Are you having difficulty with anything at the moment or in anything?
No, things are okay at the moment.
I'm having difficulty with the weather. Mm-hmm. It's too hot for me in July. I'm suffering.
Yes, that's true. That's a good point.
There's been a steep increase in temperatures here in Valencia.
It certainly has, yes.
There's been a rise in temperature here. It's very hot.
What about the word advantage, Craig? What preposition would you normally put with that?
Well, first I'd use the verb take, because the collocation with advantage is to take advantage, in the preposition of. So to take advantage of something is aprovechar.
For example, you could take advantage of these podcasts and the free courses on mansioningles.com.
Yes, take advantage of the free courses at mansioningles.com and take advantage of all our past podcast episodes that you can listen to improve different aspects of your grammar vocabulary and pronunciation. Can you think of any nouns that take prepositions? Preposition of?
With the preposition of, well, as a result of this podcast, we've met some wonderful people.
Good example. As a result of.
Result of. What about, what about? About.
What about?
Yeah. For example, information about. Where can listeners find information about for certificate courses, Craig?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, Reza, because listeners can find information about the FCE courses at mentioningles.com in the product section. We have an FCE course for download at that address.
We could also use the word the preposition on there, couldn't we? You can also say information on something, information on for a certificate course. They're both correct.
Yeah, where can I find information on good restaurants in the area, for example? Where can I find information on concerts, jazz concerts in your city?
Another noun which goes with a preposition about is anxiety. For example, she feels a lot of anxiety about her test tomorrow.
Yeah.
In other words, she's worried about it. She feels anxiety about it.
You could also use the adjective anxious. You can say she's anxious about going, about taking her test. She's anxious about going to the doctor, or she has anxiety about going to the doctor.
Craig, what preposition normally precedes the word strike?
Strike, you mean to hit?
No, not strike to hit. Strike meaning labor action to stop working.
Welga. Mm-hmm. I'd say on strike, the preposition on. Have you ever gone on strike?
Actually, never. I've never gone on strike. What about you?
Yes, I have. I've been on strike. So you can go on strike. Yeah, I've been on strike once when I was 19 or 20. I worked for a government organization, Social Security, and the whole government building went on strike. So I went on strike with them. I think it was probably about salary. It usually is, but I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Craig, you drink quite a lot of coffee. How much coffee do you think you drink on average?
On average. On average, I think I drink about 3 cups a day. What about you?
1. I drink more coffee when I'm at your house. It's true. Normally, when I'm on my own, I just drink 1 cup a day.
And do you generally drink coffee in your flat, or do you go out to a bar in Rusafa and drink?
A mixture. Sometimes at home, if I happen to feel like one when I'm out, then I have one outside. But I will have 2 or possibly 3 cups of tea a day, but only 1 cup of coffee.
So on the whole, you tend to drink more tea than coffee.
On the whole, yes. That's another good expression with on. On the whole.
Means generally speaking.
Yeah. Craig, on the whole, are you pleased with life in Valencia?
I'm very pleased. On the whole, there are, of course, some small disadvantages. But on the whole, I'm very happy here in Valencia. Another collocation is when you have an opinion on something. For example, what's your opinion on underage drinking?
It's not a good idea. It's right that it should be illegal, I believe.
I agree with you.
Is there another way we could say it instead of opinion on?
Well, it's your attitude, isn't it? You can have an attitude towards something. So I could say the question would be, what's your opinion on underage drinking, or what's your attitude towards underage drinking? Of course, towards is also a preposition. And if you use a verb, make sure it's a gerund. So what's your opinion on drinking in the street? What's your attitude towards drinking in the street?
Craig, with at, preposition at, we've got, for example, at risk. Mm-hmm. Do you think the EU, the European Union, is at risk? Will it break up?
I really don't know. I hope it doesn't, But obviously now that the UK is moving out of Europe, it is possible that more countries will follow them. So there's a possibility that the European Union will be at risk in the future. Is that the same preposition in Spanish? Do you say en riesgo? At risk.
Well, I don't know what you mean, and I'm not being funny when you say, is that the same preposition?
Well, when you translate it,
yeah.
Does it make sense? If a Spanish speaker translated it from Spanish to English, would they make a mistake?
Yes, probably.
Probably.
Because it
they
is,
might say in risk.
Yeah, because it's en riesgo.
Yeah, they'd say in risk.
So they'd probably say in.
Yeah. So it's at.
But of course, it's foolish to look for a fixed translation of a preposition because, for example, en la habitación, in the room, en la pared, in, on the wall. So
yeah.
It's pointless to look for fixed translations.
But do you think, I had a comment written on Facebook this week because sometimes I put translation exercises on Facebook and a teacher said to me that he didn't think it was correct or a good idea to do direct translation. Do you think it helps or do you think, for example, with prepositions, you should completely avoid translating?
No, I think it can be helpful to translate. It can be helpful to translate phrases with prepositions, like we are doing right now. If we're talking about in agreement, information about, on strike, but it is pointless to try and translate individual prepositions out of context. That's pointless.
Yeah, I agree.
Pointless.
But I think it's useful to try to translate it and then notice or realize if it's the same or different.
Yeah.
For example, with at risk, don't translate it because it's not in risk, it's at risk. Mm-hmm. So it's important to know when it's the same and when it's different. That's the important thing so that you don't make the mistake.
Another one with at is at fault. For example, if I said, I apologize. I am at fault. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm at fault. In other words, it's my responsibility that something bad has happened. I am at fault.
Or you are to blame.
Yes.
Let's look at for, some nouns with for. For example, need. There's a need for. Now, need is sometimes a verb. I need to go, for example, or I need a cup of tea. But you can use need as a noun. There is a need for good government in Spain, for example. There's a need for change.
You say there's a need for good government in Spain. Yes, there's a need for any government, just a government.
There's a need for a government.
We haven't had one for 7 months. We've had a government en funciones, which is, well, we don't actually have a government.
There's a need for a few very honest and confident leaders here in Spain at the moment.
Craig, what's the reason for the political problem in Spain? What's the reason for? So reason goes with for as well. What's the reason for it?
I don't know a lot about politics, but it seems that a lot of people are apathetic. They're not going to vote. They're very disillusioned with the government. And they're very divided at the moment. They're not sure which political party is going to take Spain forward in the future. So there's a lot of indecision at the moment in Spain. I think that's the reason for the split government.
Now, listeners, I got one more for you with four. It's the noun taste. Listeners, there's a well-known podcaster with a taste for dark chocolate.
I wonder.
Idea? Who could it be? I wonder. Who could that be?
I wonder who that is.
Who could that be? Perhaps that person is not a million miles away from me right now.
Reza, can you think of something in the last year or so that you've developed a taste for?
I've developed a taste for
dulce de leche.
Dulce de leche over the last 5 or 6 years, actually, yes. How did you guess? Yeah.
Anything else?
Yes, an Arab bread. I've developed a taste.
Oh, that lovely bread that you get from the bakery near your flat. That's wonderful bread.
From Safa, the Arab area.
It's very fresh and fragrant. It's fantastic bread. It's great with hummus.
Yeah.
Another preposition we could use is under, bajo. So an expression you could use is under guarantee. For example, my refrigerator is still under guarantee. The guarantee is still in date, so I can use it. Have you got anything at home that's still under guarantee?
As far as I know, my laptop computer, which I bought about 2 years ago, I think it has a guarantee of 5 years. So it's under guarantee, or I can say also under warranty for 5 years. You can say guarantee or warranty.
Another expression with underage. To be underage.
Yeah. Yes, you asked me earlier about underage drinking, I think, didn't you?
I did.
So, underage, did you drink alcohol when you were underage, Craig?
I must admit, I did.
Shock, not, horror.
Not very underage. I think the drinking age when I was growing up in London was 16. You could get served alcohol at 16. Does that sound right? Yeah.
Maybe.
Or was it 18?
No, probably 18. I think it was 18.
Was it 18?
I think it's always been 18 in the UK.
So I remember drinking a year before I was legally supposed to. So I went into the pub. The tallest friend bought the drinks because he looked the oldest. And we drank underage. But it was always in a pub. We never – it's a Spanish – not a custom, but it's quite common to see – young people drinking in the streets here underage, but where I grew up, it was common to drink in pubs because it was too cold in the streets.
Let's have one more preposition. To, for example, solution to. I'm afraid they had no solution to our problem.
What do you think is the solution to my overweight problem?
Perhaps you should cut down on chocolate.
And go to the gym. That's the solution to my problem.
Maybe.
The solution to my problem is to do more exercise, basically.
Uh-huh. Before we go on to looking at nouns with two prepositions, I'd just like to remind you that the preposition, as we said, can go before or after the noun. A few examples that we've used with the preposition before: in agreement, or on strike, at risk. And some examples where the preposition is after the noun: anxiety about, need for, solution to. So some has the preposition before, some have the preposition after. Now, there are also expressions where we have a preposition, a dependent preposition before and a dependent preposition after a noun. Craig, could you give us an example of one?
Well, I could say in answer to. So, for example, in answer to your question, we'll speak about trends and language of trends next week on the podcast. Mm-hmm. In answer to your question, or in answer to our request, we were given some help.
Craig, would you often use or hear the expression for the love of God?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's an expression used out of desperation, isn't it? Yeah. For the love of God, don't do it.
Yeah.
Por favor, no lo haces.
My mom says that.
Por amor de Dios.
Por el amor de Dios, yeah. So you have for, then we have the noun, the love, and then of, for the love of God. Mm-hmm. But you can say for the love of many things. For the love of your country, you must do the right thing. Or for the love of any noun. But for the love of God's a very common one.
Mm-hmm.
Another common expression with a preposition before and after the noun is in lieu of.
In lieu of, L-I-E-U.
Can you think of an example with that one?
Well, if your boss needs to pay you money, you could have a day off or a free day in lieu of the extra pay. So you work overtime, for example, you work on Saturday, and your boss says, oh, we'll calculate the money. We say, oh, don't worry. Just give me next Wednesday off work in lieu of Saturday. So it's like in place of, isn't it?
Exactly.
Is lieu a French word?
Yes, it's the French word for place.
There you go. In place of.
And in Spanish, you could translate this one fairly easily. En lugar de. mm-hmm. in lieu of. But instead of saying in place of, we sometimes use the French word in lieu of. It's a very common expression.
Mm-hmm. And if you need a solution to your English, we'd recommend our sponsor, italki.com. If you need extra tuition, if you're looking for a teacher online to help you improve your English, why not go to italki and try their wonderful website for finding English teachers? Why should you do this? Well, it's very convenient because you're learning at home using Skype or similar technology. It's very affordable because there's no language school. There's no middleman in the middle. So the prices are very good. And if you register through Inglés Podcast or Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig Podcast, Italki are giving 100 free credits, which is one free lesson to each paying student. So to take advantage of this wonderful offer and find out more, go to inglespodcast.com/italki. And we'd like to say thank you to Italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Well, Craig, that's about it, I guess. Now it's up to the listeners to practice what we've told them. So go ahead, listen, speak, study, practice your English. If you've got a question for us, hope you do. Get in touch, and maybe your question will appear on a future episode. Craig, how can people get in touch with us?
Well, the best way to get in touch with us is by voice message, and we love receiving your voice messages for two reasons. First, you practice your English, you record your English on the website and send it to us, which is great for your speaking and pronunciation. And also, we love hearing from you in person so that we can get to know our listeners better. If you want to send us a voice message, go to www.speakpipe.com/Inglés podcast. Now, if you're using your iPhone or iPad or mobile phone, you need to download the SpeakPipe application. That's SpeakPipe. If you go direct to the website inglespodcast.com, you'll see a link, un enlace, on the homepage. Just click and record. Make sure you have a microphone to record your voice and send us a message. Or you could send us an email with a comment or question to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza, that's at belfastreza@gmail.com.
So please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening this week. Before you go, if you'd like more detailed show notes, remember you can go to patreon.com/Inglés podcast, and we'd like to thank our lovely Patreon sponsors, who are, where's that?
Lara, Thara, Mamin, Juan, Sara, Corey Finneran from Ivy Envy Podcast, Jorge, Raul, Rafael, Daniel, and Manuel.
Thank you for sponsoring us. And on next week's episode, Reza, what's the subject?
Next week's episode will feature the economy and discussing trends.
Sounds good. So, until next episode, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.